Where is our culture going? The United States is definitely not the country that it once was. Oh yeah, many things have disappeared. Just take a look around. Corruption has breached all segments of our culture, whether politics, finance, industry, or education. So tell me, where is our culture going?
The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Bill Watson.
Well, hello, and again, welcome to another international telecast of the Armor of God. Good to be with all of you once again, and glad you can spend some time with us exploring the Word of God. You know, if you're like me, I'm asking this question pretty frequently now. What in the world is going on with our culture, with our society, especially here in the United States? I think many of you would agree that it seems like it's becoming more violent. I mean, we've got shootings in malls now, we've got bombings, we've got shootings in schools, we've got high-speed police chases, we've got all kinds of very macabre killings that are going on, even by parents with their children and children killing their parents. And frankly, at times it seems to get quite overwhelming and very disturbing. I think many of us would agree on that. And what's even more distressing, I think many of us see this, is that our leaders don't seem to have any solutions to these problems, to this malaise that we're contending with on almost what appears to be now a week-to-week, if not month-to-month, basis. There always seems to be something popping up in our news that's grabbing our attention and causing us to mourn the deaths of literally dozens or at least multiple people who have been innocently shot or killed or somehow mowed down by a vehicle. It's really a shame. And you wonder, well, you know, what can be contributing to this? And yet we know, my friends, many things do contribute to this. I mean, this is not a very simple thing to try and define as to where these problems are coming from. But you can bet on this one, that a lot of our children today are spending way too much time playing video games like Grand Theft Auto, for instance, or Assassin's Creed, or how about Halo? Here's another one, Battlefield. I mean, it's hard not to expect these kinds of games impacting the young, impressionable minds of our youngsters. And then you compound that by taking God and expunging Him right out of our whole school system and making prayer, public prayer that is, politically incorrect. And then add more confusing signals, like this new version of the King James Bible, now labeled the Queen James Bible, of all things, making it more friendly to the homosexual community by extrapolating out scriptures that are against or are viewed or interpreted as anti-gay. And I'll tell you, that's a dangerous place to go, especially in light of Revelation chapter 22, verse about 18 or so, or 19. Just read that. Anybody who adds or takes away from are on very dangerous ground. Add drugs to the mix, along with many of the drug cartels, which are very, very active throughout so many cities here in the United States, And it's a no wonder we have the kind of conditions and violence that many of us today are witnessing. And so much of this is literally contributing to a lot of the tension. And as I've already mentioned in passing, there's no simple solution to this. It's multifaceted. There are a lot of causes that contribute to the momentum and the trends that we're seeing in our society and which appear to be building. But there is something that is underscoring some of this. And what contributes to this greatly is the abuse of this very simple and fundamental constitutional right, at least here in the United States anyway. And that is the freedom of speech. Oh, my friends, it is so abused today. Some of the uncouth and just irreverent things that this particular amendment is protecting is just mind-blowing. Our forefathers, believe me, had no idea what this would be protecting today. And I'm not saying this to imply that I'm anti-freedom of speech. No, I'm not. What I am saying is just outright how far we have drifted from the framing of what our forefathers had, of which I'm sure of, and I guarantee they never thought of the extremes that we are experiencing today that amendment would be protecting. I have a lot to say today about that. I hope I'm able to get to all of my points. But before I do, as it is our tradition here and our rule, let me break away for a moment to introduce to you our free offers on today's program. Both of them, let me emphasize, are indeed free. And all you've got to do is dial that 888 number, 578-8791, and ask the operator for this small piece of literature. It's an article, actually, a reprint article from one of our church newspapers titled Virtual Reality. It will go through a lot of the details regarding how these multimedias and iPhones and computers and iPads are impacting relationships that we have between each other. And it's a no wonder with the amount of time, and you'd be surprised at some of the time that's being spent on these mechanical or electrical devices, digital devices, how much time is being spent, and therefore subtracting that from the time that we spend in reality, it's a no wonder there are communication problems with some of the parents and children, and of course in our marital relationships between husbands and wives. It's called Virtual Reality. You can easily read it in one sitting. Along with that is a CD, 1 hour long presentation that is titled Solutions for Society Today. That's right, Solutions for Society Today. I won't be getting into a lot of the details that this presentation will be getting into, and that's why you really do need to go ahead and dial that 888 number 578-8791 and ask for both of these items because they will complement today's presentation. And let me bring your attention real quickly here to that website at www.cgi.org. Don't forget about that special feature we have of webcasting every Saturday, a live presentation by a presenter, whether it be a minister or a deacon of the Church of God International. On Saturday, hit our link on our homepage for the time in your area and consider what time zone you may be in, because all of those times, I think, are listed there on our website. So that's www.cgi.org. Now, one more time, that phone number, 888-578-8791 for those free offers. Now, let's get back to the program here and resume what we were talking about in respect to some of these things that we're beginning to see emerge, erupt around us. You know, home invasions we're finding ourselves becoming subjected to. We're finding ourselves being accosted by mob robberies where kids are coordinating themselves together on their iPhones and then rushing a store to essentially have a gang shoplifting spree where they just mob the store and take what they want to take. I mean, it is amazing some of the things that we are seeing today that we would have never dreamt in our wildest dreams would occur. I know when I was growing up, it sure seemed a lot simpler and a lot more sedate by comparison. And I think many of you would agree with me, especially in that regard, with what we are seeing today, comparably speaking. There's no question about it, though, as I mentioned. It is not easy to try to define the causes of this because, as I mentioned, there are multiple streams of feeding these trends. Now, there are some things that are indeed root causes of them, and I hope I'm going to be able to try and get to some of those to help you to identify some of these things. But one thing is for sure, and that is our society has, what can I say, reverted, it has retrogressed, it has declined to concede, to afford itself to define right and wrong by a term that we have now become familiar with, I think. If not, I'm going to introduce it to you right now. It's called moral relativism. Oh yeah, that's right. And that has led to cultural relativism. And unfortunately, my friends, cultural relativism is basically a form of humanism. And humanism does indeed lead to a neo-paganistic society if we're not careful, let alone even one step further down the ladder into a hedonistic society if we're not careful. And those things are real, my friends. Now, what is difficult, though, and dangerous about allowing a society, a culture, to define for itself what is right and wrong is it generates confusion. Because let's face it, many of us have our own opinions about what we believe to be right and wrong. I think all of us understand that. All of us have different concepts of what we believe to be good for us may not necessarily be good for you. And I think many of us understand that. And consequently, to illustrate what I'm saying, is let's just think about abortion. Now, abortion has a very large following, unfortunately. It has been legal for many, many years here in the United States, throughout Europe, and many other parts of the world. There are a lot of people that would like to see abortion expanded into other areas to where you could abort a baby in the longer term. Others are flat out against it and want to rescind the whole law. Homosexuality. Here's another one. Many are now leaning toward legitimizing it everywhere. They want to bring it out into the open, get it out of the closet, normalize it as much as possible, and of course legalize same-sex marriages, which obviously could very easily lead to polygamy and all different types of perversions or alternatives to even that kind of law. And if you think I'm exaggerating, that's already started in South America. How about marijuana, the legalization of drugs, not for medical use? Oh no, I'm talking about for recreational use. That's right. Come on over for a little bit of tea or maybe a brownie or something, or just a few tokes, and let's share some grass in our front room and have a ball, you know, turn on a movie or do whatever we want to do. Already we've got states that have legalized it here in the United States and are fast approaching other trends to afford other states to legalize it. Gun control. The government would like to ban certain guns, while others have very strong opinions about not wanting to concede or to surrender their guns, because they're of the opinion that guns don't kill people. No, they don't. Guns do not kill people. It's people who use guns that kill people. Cars don't kill people by themselves. However, people behind the wheel who are irresponsible or perhaps are drunk or maybe stoned now on marijuana, they are the ones who kill people with cars. Chainsaws do not kill people, but in the hands of a mass murderer, like in the Chainsaw Massacre movies that we're so bombarded by here in our movie screens, which is also another contributing factor, that is what kills people. Chainsaws in the hands of people who kill people with chainsaws, baseball bats, knives, they do not kill people. We've got to get that into our heads. What kills people are the people who use the baseball bats to kill people. I mean, it's very elementary, and I could go on, my friends. How about pornography, strip joints, people that go to these places and say that this prostitution should be legalized along with that. I mean, we could go on and on. Prayer in public. How about limiting the size of soft drinks, of all things? I mean, how silly is that? You can't buy a super size soft drink. Well, what's going to happen is somebody who wants to drink that much are just going to buy another one, of all things. But hey, they don't think things through as usual. It just seems to be whatever the twitch is that causes these kinds of things to occur. But like I said, we could go on and on. Taxes, music, movies, religion, even the family. It is all being redefined for all of us. And on it goes. Do you know how difficult it is to get a common agreement out of each and every one of us to come to some conclusion where my interpretation of whatever it may be, whatever the issue may be that I've covered already and listed already, would be to get both of us to agree? It's very, very difficult. And that's why we have a full-time legislative body here in the United States that does nothing but review laws and make laws. We've drifted, my friends. We've drifted from our ground zero. And that is what is contributing in such a major way to the ills and difficulties of at least here in the West, primarily Canada, America, we could say parts of Europe and Australia, and to in other parts of the world certainly as well, are varying degrees of what is right and wrong. And that all comes from not understanding what God wants. And I don't mean just any God, because there's a lot of different religions, aren't there, in this world, that give us all kinds of understandings and knowledge and interpretations of what is right and wrong, when in fact we know just by the nature of things some of these religions are preaching and advancing things that are wrong. Much like, as I have often referred to, is the Islamic religion. To think that flying airplanes into buildings is okay with God is just plain insane. To even think that God would endorse that, that is absolutely just not sensible. But yet, we do have an understanding, an awful lot of understandings of variations of what God wants from us. And so when I say we've drifted from God, what I'm driving at is we have drifted from the true God. That's right, my friends, the true God, the God of this Bible. Now, I know that may sound a bit heady in some respects. Nevertheless, this Bible, the Old and New Testament, as you've often heard us say on this particular program, the armor of God, has a lot to say about how to assure us, that is, us as a creation, not only here in the United States, but all around the world, that if we would adopt certain principles and model our lives after a certain personality, namely that of Jesus Christ, we would be far better off than the way we are today. Our world, my friends, and our leaders are suffering from a lack of knowledge. Even God says through many of the voices of his prophets, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Notice what God said through the prophet Isaiah over here in chapter 1 to those in Israel, particularly those in Judah and in the city of Jerusalem, regarding the leaders of the day. The parallel of what was going on then is stunning to what is going on today. Notice, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. And this is verse 2 of Isaiah chapter 1. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knows his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel does not know my people, does not consider, oh, a sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity or lawlessness, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger, and they are gone away backward. Notice this. He goes on, the prophet does. Why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, he says. From the top down, from the leaders to the people, to the smallest homeless guy in some back alley of some city in the United States or Canada or somewhere there in Paris or Germany or somewhere maybe in the back alleys of London. It is all sick from the head down to the toe. He says here, the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot, even under the head, there is no soundness, no rationale, no reasonableness based on and compared to the laws of God. That's the context here that the prophet is referencing. He says here, the head, there is no soundness in it, but the wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, they have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. And he goes on then to portray the country, at least spiritually speaking, is like the vineyard or like the farm after harvest. It is just left desolate and wasted. Notice over here in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, as he proceeds here to describe the culture and personality profiles of those who will be most prominent in the end times. 2 Timothy chapter 3, notice this, Paul stating, verse 1, this know also, in the last days, that's written there in the New Testament, 2 Timothy, as I said, chapter 3, verse 1, perilous times, dangerous times shall come. Men, Paul says, in the last days, dangerous times. Why? Men will be lovers of their own selves. You know, to go into a school and shoot down 5 to 10-year-old children is a man, if it's a man and or a woman, it's a person who does not have normal affections. They are definitely disconnected from what life really means. Otherwise, they wouldn't even think of that. The question for many of us, I'm sure we've asked ourselves, how does anybody do that? Because it is very, very disjointed, disconnected, and just plain flat out insane. Nevertheless, Paul warns us, men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, narcissists, egomaniacs, proud of their own selves and their own accomplishments. He even says proud. Blasphemers, disobedient to children. And I'm sorry, disobedient to parents. Disobedient children is what I meant. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. That's what I was talking about. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent. And that doesn't necessarily mean they have a problem controlling their bathroom. It means they have a problem with their self-control. Fierce despisers of those that are good. He goes on here, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Oh yeah, Paul says, they will seem religious to you. They will seem pious to you. They will seem to be right in their own minds. But in fact, they're not. Real quickly, because time is getting away from me here, but turn over here to Deuteronomy chapter 4 for a moment. Deuteronomy chapter 4. I just want to read something real quickly because this goes to the heart and core of the solutions, or at least one part of the solution in remedying some of the problems we see ourselves now contending with. Here in Deuteronomy chapter 4, we see the writer, in this case Moses, this is out of the Torah in the Old Testament. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do so in the land where you go and possess it. And he says here in verse 9, dropping down for the sake of time, only take heed to yourself and keep your soul diligent, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen, lest they depart from your heart. That means you forget the relationship you have with this God, the God who has directed the true and right principles, standards, and values. Lest when you become, he says in chapter 6, which you need to read as well, and let me reference it here in passing, that when you become blessed, and when you become great, and when your affluence begins to increase, beware, take heed, be warned, don't forget me. Because if you do, he says, it won't be pretty. He goes on down here in chapter 4, and he says, here in this case, I call heaven and earth, same chapter, Deuteronomy 4, but now in verse 26, real quickly, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that you shall soon utterly perish from off the land whereunto you go over Jordan to possess. You shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed, and the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and you shall be left few in number among the heathen where the Lord shall lead you, and there you shall serve gods and work with the men's hands and wood and stone where neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. But if from thence you shall seek the Lord your God, you shall find him. But the point is, if you don't, those things will happen, my friends. What God does here in chapters 4 and 6 of Deuteronomy is appeals to all of those who are finding themselves in a situation like this, that of a great nation, a wonderful nation that is blessed with affluence and materialism, and of which, and we have, especially here in Canada, especially here in the United States, and you folks over there in Australia, and those of you over there in England, and many of you others who are part of the British Commonwealth, or formerly so, you have been blessed by God and have been built on the precepts of this book, and now are abandoning and drifting from it. And you beware, my friends. We, as a culture, are responsible because we have made the choices that has developed the environment that we find ourselves in. And it is due, my friends, to so much of the fact that we have turned our backs on God. And what God says is, if you repent and come back to me, I will be there for you. But he says, come back. My friends, time has run out on me. Dial now, 888-578-8791, and get these two free offers that we are providing you for with today. The piece of literature, Virtual Reality, something we all need to be aware of in the society at large that we are now dealing with and tempted with. These iPhones and iPads, not that I'm against them, I use them as a matter of fact, but we need to be controlled with them and the time we spend with them. We need to manage our time lest we find ourselves slowly and incrementally becoming addicted to them. And secondly, solutions for our society today. My friends, solutions for our society today, a one-hour presentation will help you to better understand some of the solutions that I was unable to touch on today here because time has run out on me. So friends, this is Bill Watson reminding all of you, as we often do, so often do in this day and age that we're living in, you keep on that armor of God so that you may be able to stand in these evil times.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by the Church of God International and supported by our viewers.